You're listening to the Leaping Cholla podcast, recorded in the Wrong Mountain Yurt in the Sonoran Desert.
I am falling away from this world. I am falling away from this world. You are calling me back.
Here we're going, and we're on section 121. Contributions to Philosophy of the Event by Martin Heidegger. 121, section 121, reading through.
Yep.
Go ahead.
121, Bang and Beings. Place on one pan of a scale all things and objectively present beings, plus the machinations in which they are congealed and entrenched. And place on the other pan the projection of bang, plus the weight of the thrownness of the projection. In what direction will the pointer of the scale lean? Toward the side of things objectively present in order to allow the impotency of the projection to spring up into ineffectualness. Yet who is weighing this scale? What is objective?
Who is weighing with this scale? Yeah.
Yet who is weighing with this scale? What is objectively present? What rages in machinations? All these issues never reach the truth of bang. They clothe themselves instead in the mere appearance of a ground and of indispensability, in that they withdraw from truth and want to disavow their primary moment, objective presence, as a nullity. Who ordered the scale of the kind used in the marketplace and demands that everything be weighed on it alone? Should I keep going?
Sure, I think so. I think he's kind of on this scale metaphor.
Yeah.
We might read this whole thing without...
Yeah, cool.
Go ahead.
Who leaps over this sort of weighing, ventures the unweighable, and places beings back into being? Where is the space for carrying that out? Is it not obvious that the weighable must be in order for the truth of being to occur essentially? Yet must not the unweighable alone be ventured on the scale? With respect to what is closest, usual, and continuous, beings will always outdo being and drive it away. And that will not occur when beings develop as gathered into themselves, but rather when beings become objects and states of dissembling machinations and are dissolved into non-beings. Here the most extreme dissipation of being happens in the most ordinary publicness of beings that have become a matter of indifference. Can we gauge from here the untruth to which being must succumb? Can we appreciate its truth, which stands opposed to dissipation, essentially occurs as pure refusal, and possesses for itself uniqueness and complete strangeness? The stillest and steepest paths and passages must be found in order to lead out of the already all too long-lasting habituality and exhaustion of bang, and to ground for bang in that which it itself appropriates as event, i.e. in Dasein, the site of its essential occurrence.
Yeah. Another single sentence kind of thing almost, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a big, big passage. I mean, it does all seem to be one idea, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The scale thing is weird.
Yeah, it's really unusual.
Yeah, to have such a direct physical metaphor. So we have this scale, and in one side we're putting all things and objectively present beings, plus the machinations in which they are congealed and entrenched. So essentially, we're placing everything we ascribe as having being, as being objectively present, mm-hmm. as being a thing, plus all the thoughts and machinations and conceptualizations and tricks and representations that help them stay together and stay placed in our world. On the other side, we're putting the projection of Bang. Not sure why he's using the word projection there, but I guess that's sort of what I'm not sure why. Plus the weight of the thrownness of the projection.
Now, is projection of Bang parallel to objectively present beings?
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, it is the opposite character on the scale here. I guess Bang projects or is a projection of some kind. And the projection has weight due to its thrownness. Now, I sense that what he's really getting at is kind of the realm or the reality or the existence of Dasein. Dasein is the thrownness into Bang, and Dasein, in a sense, is a projection. And it is Bang, and it is a projection of Bang, and Bang is projecting, and it is projecting. I think projection might just be the word he uses to describe sort of the realm of Bang. Mm-hmm. In what direction will the pointer of the scale lean? So I think he's really saying, you know, as the title of the section highlights, if we weigh beings versus Bang, what's going to be heavier? And what he means beings, by heavy, I'm not sure. And he says the pointer is going to lean toward the side of things objectively present in order to allow the impetacy of the projection to spring up into ineffectualness. So I think the projection, the impetacy of the projection seems to align with the Bang side.
Yeah.
So the needle is going to go over to the objectively present in order to sort of render the projection of Bang impotent and therefore ineffectual.
Yeah.
So I think
ineffectual just means not effective, right?
Yeah. Not really having any effect. Inert, useless, non-existent, uncausal. So he just kind of seems to say that in the scale of things,
in the weight, the heaviness,
being, we're constantly going toward being.
Yeah.
Yet who is weighing with this scale? What is objectively present? What rages in machinations? All these issues never reach the truth of Bang. They clothe, so these issues sort of who's weighing the scale, what we mean by objectively present, why machination is raging and active. And the truth of Bang is removed from those questions. These questions clothe themselves instead in the mere appearance of a ground and of indispensability, and that they withdraw from truth and want to disavow their primary moment, objective presence as a nullity. So in other words, the question of the nature of machination, what objectively present means, and who is actually involved in adjusting this scale or using this scale or in a sense rigging this scale, none of this ever really comes to be. It's separate from the question of Bang. And these people who are weighing this scale clothe themselves, or these issues are clothed in the mere appearance of a ground. So they seem to be grounded. They seem to be based in truth. And they seem to be indispensable. right? Mm-hmm. And it says, in that they withdraw from truth and want to disavow their primary moment, objective presence, as a nullity. So it almost seems like these issues disavow objective presence, saying it's null. Mm-hmm. Now let me keep reading a little bit, and then I'm going to kind of give like a little real world example to think to, as to what I think he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Who ordered this scale of the kind used in the marketplace and demands that everything be weighed on it alone? Who leaps over this sort of weighing, ventures the unweighable, and places beings back into bang? So we've got two sides here, right? Mm-hmm. Some are demanding that this scale be used to weigh things, even though the scale is rigged. Others are not concerned with this sort of weighing, and they venture the unweighable. Where is the space for carrying that out, placing beings back into bang? Is it not obvious that the weighable must be in order for the truth of bang to occur essentially, yet must not the unweighable alone be ventured on the scale? Mm. So we must, the issue, the weighable must be for the truth of being bang to occur essentially. So there needs to be some being or relationship between bang and being for the truth of bang to even occur. Yet in terms of what should be ventured on the scale, I think he's saying that the unweighable is what where we should be sort of pointing the needle on the mm-hmm. scale. With respect to what is closest, usual, and continuous. So what is closest, what is usual, what's sort of the most common, and what's continuous, what are we continually in contact with? Beings will always outdo bang and drive it away, because beings are just, you know, they're just kind of more there. Mm-hmm. Because remember, bang is consistently remains absent. Mm-hmm. Okay, they always outdo bang and drive it away. And that will not occur when beings develop as gathered into themselves. But rather, when beings become objects in states of dissembling machinations and are dissolved into non-being. So he says, beings will not drive bang away when they develop as gathered into themselves, when they have kind of self-inherency, when they actually are developed as beings not abandoned by being, but beings that actually have being. They will not drive bang away. They will, in a sense, participate in bang. But, however, when beings become objects and states of dissembling machinations and are dissolved into non-beings via these dissembling machinations and via them becoming objects, that's when they outdo bang and drive it away. Hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Here, the most extreme dissipation of bang happens in the most ordinary publicest of beings that have become a matter of indifference. So beings have become a matter of indifference, meaning they're just like all other beings. There's no real cognizance of whether they have being or not and what their being means. It's very public. They're just basically standard, continuous, usual, close beings. And this is where the extreme dissipation of bang occurs, right? Mm-hmm. Can we gauge from here the untruth to which bang must succumb? Can we appreciate its truth, which stands opposed to dissipation, essentially occurs as pure refusal, and possesses for itself uniqueness and complete strangeness? So can we, at this point, can we know the untruth that is kind of dissipating bang? Can we find the truth of bang and appreciate it? The stillest and steepest steepest paths and passages must be found in order to lead out of the already all too long lasting habituality and exhaustion of bang, and to ground for bang the site of its essential currents, right? Mm-hmm. We must take the stillest and steepest paths and passages, and we must go out of the way too long lasting habituality and exhaustion of bang. We must leave that and ground the essential occurrence, the site of its essential current, the essential occurrence of bang, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the beginning. I mean, perhaps not unpredictably, this just kind of all reminds me of liberalism.
It kind of makes me think of therapy. And mm-hmm. even...
Do tell.
Okay, so the questions, who is weighing with this scale? What is objectively present? What rages and machinations? I feel like those are actually good questions, possibly.
I think they're very good questions. Yeah, I agree.
But I feel like he's kind of saying that they just don't reach the truth of bang. Maybe they help to. I don't know. I read it in that in a way those questions are just kind of beings internally referencing on beings, which maybe gives some illumination to what the beings are, or maybe he's saying it's a dissipation and it doesn't give anything, but that it doesn't bring us to bang. But I'm not sure. I'm a little confused about...
That paragraph is probably the most confusing part for me as well, I would agree.
Yeah.
My sense is that that sentence, all these issues never reach the truth of bang. I don't think he's quite saying that asking these questions never reach the truth of bang, or what's discovered by these questions never reaches the truth of bang. Although he might be. I mean, analyzing the who and the what of the scale and the objective present and the raging of imaginations is a starting point,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But they do not necessarily reach the truth of bang. And so think about it this way.
They don't bring you to bang.
They don't bring you to bang. And they're not really, like, you can do that, and that's important, but they don't really reach the truth of bang. And I would say, so let me go to where I was going to go. Yeah. I mean, I think that what you have in one scale is the liberal, and on the other scale is the post-liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the liberal side, we have all things and objectively present beings, plus the machinations in which they are concealed and entrenched, right? So we mm-hmm. have the liberal mind world.
Yeah, I really like that he added in all the machinations in which they are concealed and entrenched, because it just like, it adds a lot of weight to it in my mind.
Yeah. And we place on the other pan the projection of bang plus the weight of the thrownness of the projection. So,
which seems flimsy. It just seems like how it seems so light. They're like projections. They don't have like. Sorry, I keep jumping in.
No, it's fine. No,
they don't
please.
Feel like they have like a lot of weight to them or gravity.
Okay,
or,
yeah. So here's what I want to say. Like, okay. I agree with you. You know, I think, okay, so really the news of the day, right? As it's been for 2 weeks now, right?
Minneapolis?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, essentially liberals kind of going as far as they can.
Yeah.
Without sort of starting lots of just sheer violence.
Yeah.
To obstruct and protest and inflame and ideologize their resistance to the to ice, and the massive sort of talking points and conceptualizations and theories and attitudes and discourses that surround their self-justification for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And today was, you know, basically that, you know, this journalist and a bunch of really aggressive, I mean, if you look into these people, really aggressive leftist activists bursting into a church, and, you know, not only just interrupting the service, filling the aisles, but screaming at the people sitting in the church very aggressively, accusing them of being complicit in ICE, and just saying all kinds of nasty ass shit to them, mm-hmm. right? And you see the video, and the guy giving the sermon is like, "I need, please leave the church. We're trying to worship. We're trying to worship here," and they're just, they just occupy the church basically. Mm-hmm. Children are crying. People look scared. They're screaming in people's faces, videotaping the whole thing, okay? And then eventually they leave. And then they, of course, take to the airwaves and start saying things like, "It was, we made people uncomfortable because that's what protest is. This, these churches are white supremacy. We think somebody in that church is involved in ICE. We're stopping fascism. We're stopping evil. We're stopping white supremacy." Don Lemon, the journalist in charge of it all, is like, "I'm a gay black man, so everybody hates me. It's not because I did this. It's just that I'm a gay." So it becomes very identitarian, mm-hmm. right? They're just, it's like this identitarian war machine, right? At a very mm-hmm. amateur level, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, again, a kind of another flowering of what liberalism has become, mm-hmm. right? Where it feels entirely entitled to basically go as far as one can go without actually getting to the point of violence, although it often gets to violence too. Mm-hmm. But it's just the resistance. Mm-hmm. It's the resistance and its many manifestations, both verbal and active and ideological and conceptual, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's liberalism. Mm-hmm. That's what it's Marxism, it's communism, it's revolution, it's resistance. It's just we're going to,
it's in your face.
Yeah, we're going to harass. Yeah. There's no rules. We're going to make people uncomfortable. We're going to get in their face because we're fighting a great injustice, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they think. They're fighting a great injustice. Mm-hmm. But behind all that is sort of just the massive general liberal position, which is shared by half the country, that, you know, this acceleration of their rage, this acceleration of their meanings, their definitions of what's going on, the acceleration of their resistance, the acceleration of how far they're willing to go to resist and what they're willing to do. And it's getting frenzier and frenzier and frenzier. And it's colleges and it's arts and it's grants and it's media and it's Hollywood and it's all the liberal elite and it's all the liberals on the streets and all. And it's just like, you know, this massive thing, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody else who's not into that, all right, and thinks that's kind of silly, are just sitting there going, "Gosh, you know, like there's a law, you know, I don't know, it's a little boring, that, like, you know, you're not allowed to be an undocumented immigrant, and the authorities in Minnesota are not collaborating with ICE to try to find those people, and so ICE has to go in and try to, like, you know, wrestle those people around." Mm-hmm. And what can we say? So the rest of us are just sitting here kind of going, there's not much to say. You know what I mean? It's like you say, it's like light. It's like empty. It's just like, I don't know. Like, it seems kind of normal that if, you know, you, the state of Minnesota, won't tell the police where the criminals are, they got to go find them. Mm-hmm. And your whole world that your liberals are drumming up is essentially just this massive propaganda machine against the execution of law. Mm-hmm. So on one side is just kind of this quiet going about their business, following the law, doing what the law says, And on the other side is the rage of machination, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a nothingness over on the other side, which is kind of, to me, what's so weird about being a non-liberal rage machine, not being in that machine, is like, you're just kind of like, I mean, you can make fun of these people, you can scream and yell that they're being rude, that they're, you know, sometimes breaking the law, but it's just like, and I think it's even bigger than that, is that liberalism floods the space, because liberalism is communism. It floods the space with a demand and a right to seize and control and define, mm-hmm. regardless of the situation. Mm-hmm. Whereas the post-liberal just kind of operates a little more, I would say, procedurally. You know, the procedure is that it's against the law to be an undocumented immigrant. So the law officers go in, they go get them, and then that's it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So there's this kind of a banality and a simplicity and a quiet to the post-liberal. Mm-hmm. Because the post-liberal is just trying to basically follow democracy and execute the law. Mm-hmm. So then if you look at this and you say, the scale, the pointer of the scale, tips toward the side of things that are objectively present. Because again, liberals think that everything they're standing up for via their resistance is objectively present, meaning there's no arguing over whether it's objectively present. It just is.
They make it objectively present.
That's right.
By their
That's right.
actions and the drama and the statements.
That's right. And in fact, the only objectively present thing in this whole situation is what the post-liberal side is claiming, which is that there's a law and we're executing the law. Mm-hmm. That's the only objectively present thing. The rest of it is actually just liberal mania, mm-hmm. liberal delusion.
Mm-hmm. The machinations.
But it says here, interesting enough, the scale leans toward the objectively present to allow the impotency of the projection to spring up into ineffectualness. So it creates all this objectively present stuff called machination in order to make, liberalism does all that, in order to make the post-liberal position sort of seem impotent and ineffectual. Like, where's the, because I think their position is kind of like, well, where's your objective present?
Yeah.
Where's what you believed objectively present? You have no objectively present. You're just being evil and sneaky. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a different definition of objective presence, don't we? Mm. To them, what's objectively present is their moral stance. Mm-hmm. To us, what's objectively present is the law. Mm-hmm. If the law did not say undocumented immigrants need to be reported to the federal government and removed from the country, then we wouldn't even be here. Mm-hmm. We would nothing would be happening. We don't do objective presence in that way. We just work to make the law the right kind of law, and that's what we are. That's mm-hmm. what the post-liberal does. Now, then it goes on to say, so who's weighing with this scale? Well, the liberals are. Mm-hmm. What is objectively present? Well, to the liberals, what's objectively present are liberal ideas. And what rages in machinations, the liberal hunger for control, the communist demand for absolute dominion. Mm-hmm. That's what rages in machination, right? Mm-hmm. And none of this ever reaches the truth of Bang. All of this just remains in the liberal representation sphere, right? All this remains in the liberal machination, in the liberal order, the liberal fantasy order, mm-hmm. right? And it's dressed up as if it's grounded in something, mm-hmm. but it's not. It's just basically moral indignation turned into resistance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It points to a higher law, as if there's a higher law. Right? But that higher law is not the law. So that higher law is, in a sense, a delusion. Mm-hmm. And they claim that they're indispensable and that they withdraw from truth, right, and want to disavow their primary moment, objective presence, as a nullity. So, in a sense, they're playing a trick. Mm-hmm. They're withdrawing from truth, the truth of Bang, right? Mm-hmm. And they are sort of disavowing the idea of objective presence as being nothing, right? Because they, in a sense, don't want to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. They don't want to discuss what is actually objectively present, because what they say is objectively present is not even objectively present.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who ordered this scale of the kind used in the marketplace and demands that everything be weighed on it alone? The liberals. Mm-hmm. Who leaps over this sort of weighing, ventures the unweighable, and places beings back into Bang? The post-liberals. And then we get to this paragraph. Is it not obvious that the weighable must be in order for the truth of Bang to occur essentially? Meaning, must we not understand how liberals work, mm-hmm, and how liberalism works? Yet, by understanding how liberals work, it's not enough to basically just sit there and dissect and psychoanalyze liberals. You have to go to the truth of Bang. You need to go to the unweighable and venture the unweighable and move beyond and start to actually live and experience and realize and project one's Dasein through thrownness into Bang in order to start actually generating the other beginning. It's not enough to just basically sit around and nag about liberals, mm-hmm, carp and complain. Yes, you can discover a lot. You can dissect the machination universe and discover the way they are pure deception, but it's not enough. Mm-hmm. Liberalism is closest, most usual, and most continuous in our world, and it drives Bang away. Mm-hmm. Post-liberalism dies in the flame of liberalism just like a moth. Right? Mm-hmm. It just burns up because the flame of liberalism is so constant, so close, and so normal. Mm-hmm. And the beings of liberalism, the objects, and the way they are generated via dissembling machinations and become basically non-beings, right, cause the dissipation of Bang, and it happens in public. So it's the in a sense, I would say it's the quandary of the post-liberal or the anti-communist position. Is it kind of the only thing anti-communists and post-liberals want? They just want law and order and freedom. You know, the mantra is, again, the government should maintain law and order and then just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. So there's a negativity. Liberalism is positive objective presence because it's basically flooding the zone in order to control and manipulate and render everything in its image. Whereas the post-liberal, the anti-communist, is negative in the sense that it's kind of its core position is, there's a whole lot of things we just don't want. Like, it's really, I think there's, you know, I think it's positive freedom and negative freedom, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I think Strauss talks about this. Positive freedom is the freedom to do things. Negative freedom is the freedom to not be prevented or not to have things done to you, mm-hmm, right? So the negative freedom, I mean, I think post-liberalism and anti-communism want both. But negative freedom is kind of it's like, you know, I just want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. Right? I just want to be able to do my thing. And there's not a lot of noise and a lot of objective presence and a lot of machination and a lot of being in that. It's more like, you know, I want to be left alone to discover my bang.
Yeah.
And liberalism says, no, you may not. You're not allowed to, because we need to define being, and you are trying to have a being mm-hmm. based in other things than what we say it should be based in, mm-hmm. and therefore, no. So yeah, you're in church, and we're going to burst in, and we're going to stop what you're doing, because we live by a higher God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, and it's so, I feel like trying to find post-liberal thought is so, it feels like a vacuum, kind of. It feels yes. like you don't know where, what to put it in it. So it feels like it's, liberalism is liberal thought, sort of the regular thought, is constantly like banging at the door. It's like, oh, yes. I'm here. I have an opinion. I know what it is. Yes. So it's so hard, like, not just in terms of like, yeah, it's so hard also, I think, to try to, find that way to think.
Yes.
Because liberalism is so, and that way of thinking is just so loud and present.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, taken in the context of anxiety, and of course, anxiety is nothing but liberalism. It's, yeah. you know, it's kind of what we constantly get back to in these conversations, which is, you know, well, what's non-anxiety? Mm-hmm. How do I step out of anxiety? How do I leave intrusive thoughts? Mm-hmm. How do I leave the fear? How do I leave the anxiety? And, you know, that's hard. It's a hard question. How do I become post-liberal? How do I be an anti-communist? How do I free myself of anxiety? And that's the harder question. Mm-hmm. Stepping into the post-liberal, being the post-liberal it's quieter there. It's more complicated. It's less, you know, as Heidegger might say, there's a lot of absence there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of gods coming and going. There's not a lot of just constant presence. It's not a lot of objective presence. It's mysterious. He uses the words,
refusal.
It's strange. Mm-hmm. It's unique. What did you say? Yeah, it's a refusal. Right, which is a refusal. It's a refusal of liberalism, mm-hmm. which is, in a way. I mean, it's a really good metaphor because it's almost like post-liberalism is the dark. Post-liberalism is like the matter we can see, and liberalism is the dark matter. It's not an exact metaphor, but like dark matter is like 99% of the weight of the universe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like liberalism is literally the vast majority of the weight of the universe, mm-hmm. and post-liberalism is just trying to like kind of exist, mm-hmm. right? But there's a reason that liberalism is the weight of the weight of the universe, because liberalism is the production of mass-produced deceptive being, mm-hmm. self-deceived deceptive being. That's what it does. It floods the zone to destroy and control. Mm-hmm. Freedom is absolutely antithetical to it. Mm-hmm. Things that it doesn't control are antithetical to it. Things that don't ascribe to it are antithetical. So it just has to take over all the institutions, has to take over all the messaging. And on the post-liberal side, you're just kind of like, you know, I don't know, I'm not trying to take anything over. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to control anything, actually. So there's not a lot of, sometimes there's just doesn't feel like there's a lot of action to be made.
Yeah.
Because really it's kind of like, yeah, I'm not sure I want to act. I just want to be free to do what I want when I want to do it. And I don't know how to turn that into an objectively present flooding the zone kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's more like I want to build some walls. I want to build some negativity. I want to just like live my own life. Whereas liberals are like, we want to live your life. We want your shit. We want your head. We want your thoughts. We want your church. We want your ideas. We want to take our higher law and make it your law. It's incessant encroachment, mm-hmm. and presencing, mm-hmm. and broadcasting and forcing and controlling and seizing and taking. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And so the post-liberal is in a quandary, and the person trying to step outside of anxiety is in a quandary, because it feels like there's not much there. Mm-hmm. But that's where the leap comes in. Mm-hmm. You have to continually leap, because as Heidegger says, when you do the leap, when you make the leap, you make the there.
Mm-hmm. Can I read something that I...
Please.
...saw on X that I thought was interesting? Apparently there are like these activist manuals, and one's called Beautiful Trouble. And I think it would be really fascinating to read the whole thing, but this quote that I saw said, quote, when challenging a more powerful target, the key to success often isn't what you do, but how your target reacts to what you do. Therefore, anticipate your target's response and write it into your script. Frankly, probably like just one of many things they say, but I thought it was really interesting that the goal is the reaction.
Yeah.
Did you plan for it?
Did you read that today on X as well?
Yeah, I did.
With James Lindsay. Yeah.
Who was it?
James Lindsay.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so James Lindsay just makes the point today that Saul Alinsky, who's kind of like one of the godfathers of the resistance, liberal resistance idea, says that your opponent's reaction is your action. Mm-hmm. Like you're trying to get them to react.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I think of that a bit in terms of anxiety, but also just in terms of like the sort of like the maybe this idea that the presence, the objective present, isn't objectively present because it's actually this much bigger thing, in terms of the reaction that they're trying to get from people and how that's, yeah, the goal, I guess, the more important.
Yeah. Thing. I mean, you know, reaction, getting a reaction via your action is a way to own action and own thought.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, the most simple example would be, you know, when your kid, you know, gets you to get really angry, they've got you, mm-hmm. right? They now own your emotions. They're running you on a remote. They're in charge, and they can control the emotional space. You're likely to maybe do some stupid things. They've got you on your heels. Mm-hmm. And so it's a tactic of control and psyoping, as it were, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like if post-liberals could really just be like, oh, well, it's the law, chill out, liberals, you know?
Yeah.
That would be one thing, but
yeah,
they're not, you know, there's a reaction as well. There's...
Sure.
That they're getting through their actions.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I have to give it more in terms of anxiety, that I think it's like anxiety, at least for me, feeds very much on like getting a reaction from me. So it's like this.
Yeah.
If the anxiety can cause a reaction, mainly I don't like you anxiety, then it's like getting more power.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been confused by James Lindsay talking about all that today, as if that's an important point. But I think he seems to be kind of saying we shouldn't react to this, because uh-huh. that's what they want us to do. And, you know, I mean, what I can see actually is I think that the post-liberal response is very like, well, did they break a law?
Yeah.
If they didn't break a law, then they didn't break a law. You know? And so what? I think it gets emotional because there are photos of people, young children, being really scared.
Yeah.
It feels like a disruption into a sacred space. I mean, imagine if they'd broken into a synagogue.
Yeah.
Or a black church. Imagine if a bunch of white nationalists had broken into a black church, which is all that happened. It's just the other colors, mm-hmm. right? It's, you know, it would be all emotion. It would be all reaction. I mean, liberals are all about reaction, and I'm not justifying having a reaction. I'm just saying I don't know. I mean, yeah, of course they want a reaction. That's what everybody wants. That's what social media is. You want a reaction. You want as many hateful comments as you can get because it boosts your post.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, of course. And that is feeding the extravagant resistance theater movement. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. Kidding me? These people are laughing all the way to the bank. It's how outrageous, how ridiculous, how theatrical, how resistant can they get? Mm-hmm. And it's all videotaped and it's all thrown onto social media and I get all the upvotes and all the downvotes and all the comments and all the hate and all the like and all blah, 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 and just, you know, and they get the big checks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think... Yeah, I get it. I mean, I think you know, you bringing up reaction in the context of two things. You know, I think yes, the post-liberal response is to kind of be like, you know, your reaction games are bullshit. Mm-hmm. Your theater is bullshit. Like, it's not good theater. It's not interesting. I agree with those people who are like, stop commenting on liberal posts on X. It's useless. You're just giving them, you know, you're giving them money. You're giving them attention. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I agree that the goal is to actually just continue to spell out why liberalism, why communism are absolutely destructive forces in every society they set foot in. And you can just say, this is another example. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw, you know, one of the guys who broke into the church, he's pretty active online, and he has lots of stuff online where he's in the face of ICE officers, like screaming at mm-hmm. them as they're walking on the street, and he's just screaming at them, all this stuff. And, you know, the guys are just kind of like Zen masters. They're just like walking mm-hmm. and ignoring him. That is the post-liberal response, which is that, you know, I'm here to carry out the law. I'm going to do it. I'm calm. I know you're freaking out, but I'm just carrying out the law. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is. But I think mm-hmm. the second thing, yeah, in the context of anxiety, I mean, liberalism is about reaction. Mm-hmm. Formative force there is emotion. So the more emotional the reaction, the more anxiety-based the reaction, the more irrational and sentimental and effective the reaction, then the more credit the action has. Yeah. If the action can generate emotional reaction, that's a good action. Actions engendering intellectual reactions or reasonable reactions or patient reactions or sage reactions or just professional quiet reactions like the ICE officer being screamed at. Mm-hmm. Those actions haven't worked. Mm-hmm. Because liberalism wants to own your emotions. That's what movies do. That's what liberal propaganda does. That's what liberal storytelling does. That's what the whole liberal moral order and the moral righteousness and the moral haranguing and the moral higher law of liberal morality is. Its only goal is to own your emotions.
Yeah.
So, you know, that directly relates to anxiety. Mm-hmm. Anxiety obviously wants to own your emotions. Intrusive thoughts want to own your emotions. Mm-hmm. Intrusive thoughts are liberalism coming in to basically take over your emotions.
Yeah.
So it can run you. So it can run you. Mm-hmm. Like a Roborock. Mm-hmm. Just run you.
Yeah.
For its purposes. Mm-hmm. And so the post-liberals is like, you know, I don't want to be run. I don't want to be taken over. I don't want to be controlled. I don't want to be resisted. I'm just trying to vote and have my sense of what this place should be realized. You know, that's mm-hmm. just what I do. I do it once every 4 years, once every 2 years, maybe. I vote. And the law comes into, and you know, when the law doesn't go my way, I deal with it. I live. I get up. I raise my kids. I go to work. I maybe grumble a bit, but you know, the incredible. I mean, it's just, you know, people have mentioned this, but it's like the and we forget about it though. The difference between, you know, Marxist street protesting, resistance, blah, 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 and the way that the post-liberal kind of deals with things happening that they don't like, mm-hmm. just could not, I mean, talk about a scale.
Yeah.
I know there's the scale, right? Mm-hmm. If you were to say, take liberal resistance and post-liberal resistance and put them on a scale, how heavy is liberal resistance and how heavy is post-liberal resistance? Mm-hmm. You know, when the post-liberals lose the election, they just kind of grumble and they go back to work. I mean, and I remember they, you know, I mean, and it's cliche at this point. Liberals taking to the streets and destroying shit and screaming, yelling and harassing people and causing mayhem and havoc and awfulness. It's just, now we just accept it. It's just, that's what they do all day long, all the time.
Yeah,
it's been happening for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They have been since ever.
Yeah, yeah.
They have been since 1965.
Yeah.
Street protests, blah, blah, blah. That's just how they work. And it's very heavy. It's very weightful. And it tips the scales. Right? It tips the scales. That's why they do it. So absorb that and think, how does that relate to anxiety? You know, if you don't listen to your intrusive thoughts, you know what they're going to do? They're going to shoot you in the neck, like they did Charlie Kirk, or they're going to burn your house down, or they're going to burst into your church and scream at your children. They're not stopping. They're not taking no for an answer. They are so absolutely convinced of the objective presence of their truth and their being that they're you're just kind of in the way. Your resistance to them is just in the way. And you're stuck because you're kind of like, you know, I just want to like be left alone and not have you people sticking your fingers down my throat. So there's not a lot of like weight creating stuff that the right, the post-liberal can do.
Yeah.
So you feel impotent, right? You feel ineffectual. These are words that he uses. You feel incapable of counteracting or not reacting. To the liberal anxiety machine. So what do? I mean, I've been through many forms and ways of trying to fall asleep when I take my little pre-writing nap. Right? All these little mental games. And the newest one I have is, I have this little theory that sleeping occurs when enough sort of chemicals that are down in your lower body finally reach your head and put you to sleep. So it's almost like a, I think of it as like a chemical bath. But there are blockages to it reaching your head. And when you're really sitting there watching whether you're falling asleep or not, your mind is, you know, your mind is prone to habitually do things. And so then you're just kind of like, am I falling asleep? Are the chemicals coming up? Blah, 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 blah. So my recent thing is all you need to do is hold the door open. You know that, I don't know if you know that feeling, but like you're at a building and people are coming and you hold the door open for them. And you kind of like, it's very neutral. It's a neutral space in your head. You're kind of like, here I am. What are you doing? I'm holding the door. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking about? I'm not thinking about anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just holding the door. And oh, here come the people. And so my new thing is like, hold the door open so that those chemicals can come into your mind. And what you need to not be doing is saying, are the chemicals coming in? Are the chemicals coming in? Mm-hmm. Are the chemicals coming in? What am I doing? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, what else should I think about? So in a sense, clearing your mind. Mm-hmm. But you take the mind's urge to do, always be doing something, yeah, and you put it into something called holding the door. Mm-hmm. And then if you ignore how much of those chemicals are coming into your head and you just really single-mindedly hold the door, sooner or later you drift off to sleep. Because those chemicals are coming in, but your job is not to measure them, mm-hmm, count them. It's just to hold the door like a good little soldier. So how does that relate? Mm-hmm. Right? I think your mind, you think you need to do something to stop the intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. You think the mind wants to always be doing something.
Yes.
Just wants to be doing something all the time.
That's right. But I almost feel like if you just hold the door, but here's the trick. The door doesn't lead into your head. It leads over a cliff. Mm-hmm. So your compulsion to do something is satisfied. You're doing something. Mm-hmm. But you've managed to generate a negative space in yourself that where the intrusive thoughts think they're coming in to take you over and to control you. They're marching into, mm-hmm, the door. They're rampaging into the door. And you're just holding the door and you're smiling at them. You're saying, come on in. But of course, the door is one of those, it's just right on the edge of a cliff. Mm-hmm. And they're going over the cliff like lemmings, mm-hmm, just lemmings, falling into nothingness. Falling into nothingness. And what's that nothingness they're falling into? Mm. It's the post-liberal negativity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, negativity, interesting, right? Liberalism has rendered the word negativity as synonymous with pessimism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Haven't they?
Yeah.
That's propaganda. Mm-hmm. That's a trick. Negativity is not pessimism, cynicism. Negativity just means the absence of whatever happens to be in that context. Mm-hmm. So that negativity, and even calling it silence or absence, mm-hmm, makes it too positive. Mm-hmm. It's negativity. It's not even nothing, because nothing makes it really positive too. It's negativity. Mm-hmm. It's the negative entity that those intrusive thoughts just fall into as they go into the door, mm-hmm, and they fall away. So where is that negativity? Position your door in the right way so that those things, it's in one ear and out the other, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But in this sense, it's in one mind and off the cliff. Mm-hmm. But you have to, yeah, but you have to foment that negativity, mm-hmm, which, as Heidegger is making clear, and as you've made clear, sort of, you know, in saying, well, but there seems to be nothing there. It feels very light. It's weightless. Mm-hmm. It's, what am I doing? What are the objects there? What are the things there? What is it there? What's the being that's there? How can I grab onto something that's there? Mm-hmm. And you know, the answer is you can't. It's not. Mm-hmm. You're trying to cure liberalism by becoming more liberal.
Yeah.
You're trying to end the communist rage that you have to to control everything by trying to control your communist rage. Mm-hmm. So you have to abandon the whole thing for the weightlessness and the strangeness and the remaining absent and the refusal and the negativity of thrownness into Bang. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the post-liberal mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting because I feel like sometimes I'll be like, I'll kind of like look out, I guess, maybe out of my mind or out of the land or something. I'll be like, but there's nothing there. And then that's like a, or what's there or something. And that's a, feels like a scary thought, or like it's or an invitation to worry or a, something like that. But that's actually a kind of an amazing thing. But it's hard to, I guess, just let it be as it is, or yeah. But that practice, or yeah, practicing that is.
Yeah, practicing that is the practice.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost seems like Heidegger would say that in every moment, in every act of perception, in everything, every thought, everything our mind does, in every instance of our being, we need to ask the question, is there really being there? Mm-hmm. Are all these beings, all this beingness, all this existence, all this constant presence that I was taught for so long that is there? Mm-hmm. Is it there? And how much of this was just told to me and given to me and placed on me to allow for the control of others over me? And how much of it have I held on to be comforted? Mm-hmm. To be, oh, there's something there. There's all, mm-hmm. there's stuff there all over the place. Look, I have so much stuff. Mm-hmm. How much stuff I have, how many beings, how much being there is around me. Oh God, thank God there's, you know, and again, the liberal compulsion to generate being, even though it's abandoned by being, continually through the delusion of a higher law and the propagation of the liberal order and the justification, the righteous justification of manipulating and controlling and owning others and taking from them. Mm-hmm. All of that is just liberals being addicted to being. Mm-hmm. They need more beings. They eat being. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're literally like being eaters. And they're insatiable. And you are the being that they need to eat. And so they need you to be in the way they need you to be, or there's no being for them to eat.
Yeah.
And so they need you to react, because they understand emotional reaction as being, because they are very emotionally reactive people. They structure their whole sense of being around. Being is only what you can emotionally react to.
Yeah.
And so they need you to emotionally react so that you grow being out of your pores, and then they can eat it. And they'll eat you straight to the heart, all the way down, gone, mm-hmm. if they can turn you into being. And so that negativity, that post-liberal negativity, is about saying, you know what? I don't be in the way you need me to be. I'm not the being that you are trying to make me. I'm not what you say I am. Mm-hmm. I don't ascribe to your definitions of being. My reactions are not yours. I might be reacting. I might not be reacting. Even when I'm reacting, I'm probably not reacting. I'm a lot more contradictory and paradoxical and mysterious and unknown than you could ever understand. And I'm not here to be eaten. I'm here to be free and to be away from you. My stuff is not your stuff. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm not just a player in the liberal drama. Mm-hmm. I'm out of it. I'm gone. It's negative. I'm negativity. I'm negative freedom. So you have to be slippery and you have to constantly be weightless and leaving it and going away from it and saying, you know, I'm not there for you. I'm not your plate of food. Mm-hmm. And that fork you call guilt is not going to, I'm not going to let it jab into me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm done being your meat. I'm done being your being. And, you know, where you go as you're doing that is a mysterious place. It's the place of the absconding, advent and absconding of the gods. It's the place of the often absent bang. It's the place of mystery and uniqueness. And it's the other beginning. It's the future ones. And it's the leap. Mm-hmm. It is. It's all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so you just have to every day, all day long, in everything you read, everything you do, everything you see, everything you practice, everything you think, always be going there and always be jumping away from the fork. You're a frog and they're trying to stick their fork in you. Mm-hmm. But it's not about running away. It's about letting them scream because they're going to scream. Mm-hmm. But as that chemical comes through your door, just let it fall off the cliff. Mm-hmm. Off it goes. Bye-bye. So it has to come in you and then it has to leave you. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you had a little bit of an anxious day. You looked at me this afternoon and you said, oh my God, I saw it in your eyes. Yeah. And the anxiety was coming in you and the liberalism was shooting through you and the intrusive thoughts were grabbing you. Yeah. And, you know, you haven't quite placed your door on the cliff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're coming in that door and they're staying. Mm-hmm. They're kicking their feet up on your couch. They're eating your food. They're taking your stuff. They're doing what they do.
Yeah.
So you got to get your door on the cliff, right on the edge of the cliff.
Yeah. That's great.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us for the Leaping Choya podcast. For more information, visit leapingchoya.com and be sure and follow us on socials. Until next time.